Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Feel like you got enough to do already? I do. That's why I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up with my busy life. They know the snacks I like down to the extra creamy in my peanut butter. I can get deliveries at home, on set, or even when I'm away on vacay. And my personal shopper, Amber, she's got my back. As in, she asks them to check the back if it's not on the shelf. Shipt. Delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com/hi.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Vock Party. Rebranding the show. I'm your host, Mike Wall. Thanks for watching. If you're enjoying, hit that subscribe button on our Process to Perform channel. Check me out at MikeWall16 on X, Process to Perform on Instagram. Our show is always sponsored by Bet Online. The game's set. We have our matchup. Bet Online is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. We got everything you want. The player performance props, I think, especially at the Super Bowl week. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but head online today. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, where your game starts. I think one of the best things about the Super Bowl, like if you're not into either team, if you're just a fan of football, is the player performance props, coin flip, how long, all of that stuff. It turns it like this is the for whatever reason, this is the one game where I find all of that incredibly amusing. I don't even know who's playing the halftime. I really don't care. I think Usher, maybe. But it's going to be a good game. We got a great matchup between, obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, reigning Super Bowl champs, and now the San Francisco 49ers, because the 49ers won the NFC Championship. That's the game we're going to break down, versus the Detroit Lions, 34-31. What a game. Of the two, I mean, really just an entertaining football game. Detroit lead, get the ball first, go down. We're going to watch tape on it and break down really what happened. This game was about there's a couple trends in this game that I think that maybe go unnoticed by some other groups. Main themes of the day for me, basics. Like, the Detroit Lions lost this game. We could talk about all the decision-making, and like, they have to talk about that. There's no – the decision-making, there's nothing you can argue about there. The Detroit Lions are who they are. They've been going through it. That's Dan Campbell's MO since he started talking about biting off kneecaps. In his first press conference, that's the kind of guy Dan is. That's kind of player he is. It's kind of position coach he was. It's kind of, you know, when I was on his staff in the Miami Dolphins when he was the interim head coach. That's the kind of guy he is. That's who he's going to be. That's the culture and the makeup of their team. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. He had the decision to not go for it down on fourth down. At the end of the half, they decided to kick the field goal. That's a decision. You don't argue with that decision. That's the decision they made. That's as conservative he's going to get. You know, the one decision to run the football on third down towards the end of the game, and he had to waste a timeout. Again, that's a play that they've scored a ton of a play. David Montgomery's in the game. They've been able to run the football. That's a play that they're pretty confident they're going to get into the end zone. They end up kind of blowing the down block. I think that was Reynolds who blew the down block on the safety. So you sneak through and make the play. They have to expend a timeout, which means if they don't get their if they don't get the onside kick, game's over. So that's a tough play. They end up scoring the next play, so it doesn't matter. But really, when you start thinking about this game, like, why did you lose this game? Let's just keep it as simple as possible. There's two reasons you lost this game. One, you dropped some passes. There was at least four I can recall, two by Josh Reynolds, one in the end zone, a couple plays that would convert to first down, like third down drops. You obviously had the two fourth down plays where if they catch the ball, you look really good on the first one. The second one, Eric Armstead blows the play up with the TT game. Here's the thing that nobody's talking about. You missed 16 tackles in this game. So when I used to consult with teams about tackling, I remember I went to a team and literally we were watching it. It was an NFC team, NFC South team. They're playing their opponent. Excuse me. And there was over 100 yards after contact in that game on missed tackles. Like, it makes a huge difference. You miss 16 tackles in a game. I'm going to show a handful of them. But you miss 16. Like, Christian McCaffrey has, you know, in the flat passes, running game, he probably has 50 yards of extra yardage after contact this week because Detroit just did such a poor job of tackling. Safeties missed at least 3 tackles each. And when you start looking at, like, we always talk about decisions and the game plan and the coach and the, but you miss 16 tackles, you're going to lose a football game. That's, it's not hard. The last thing is, I think, you know, Brock Purdy vaults to me, my opinion. Brock Purdy, 20 for 31, 267 yards. Obviously had the bad pick where it ends up getting hit, I think, by who was that? Well, pressure equals picks. We'll show it on the tape by the defensive tackle. But 20 for 31, 267 yards, touchdown and a pick. I think if what he did with his feet in particular, 5 rushes, 48 yards, 21 yards, the long one, the 21-yarder to set up the last touchdown, you start looking at him and go, okay, he's a – first of all, how do we miss on the draft so badly? I read a draft – I had to go reread a draft report. I put some of it on the tape. But you just watch this guy and the way he maneuvers in the pocket. He outruns first-round draft pick Jack Campbell from Iowa, who's going to be a great linebacker this league. Flat out outruns him on the 21-yarder. So I don't know – like, I don't know where the information was coming from. I guess some guys don't test well, but, like, the tape couldn't have lied that much when he was playing. And he's got, what, 47 starts, I think, at Iowa State or whatnot. So you start watching this thing and it just goes to show you what an imperfect science or I should say how many guys fall through the cracks, maybe not imperfect science, but how many guys fall through the cracks when it comes to the draft process, the evaluation process. You know, obviously if you can mentally process things, you play faster. But I thought his action out of the pocket, his ability to scramble really separated him. When you look at him versus the top guys in the league now, it's impossible not to say that this guy is now becoming, certainly in the last two games versus the Packers versus the Lions, he's a reason they're winning the football game. And I don't know if you know, a lot of guys, I don't know that you would say that about too many quarterbacks in this league, quite frankly. Let's just get to it. So one of the reasons I'm doing this show, I started using Clipart today. And I just wanted to check it out because blah, 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 blah. Let's check it out and see if you guys like it. Eye discipline. We're going to go sequentially in this game. Big thing here is, you see, Bosa is going to get drawn by the puller, and they actually have the receiver trying to block down on him. And he follows the puller and does such a good job with, you know, what he thinks is correct that they don't even have to down block. Greenlaw bites on the pull as he should. The only guy really sitting here is Fred Warner, but now they've got leverage, outside leverage from the two guys that turn around and run the on the reverse, and they just can't make plays. You got a convoy of big guys out front. Really just a special run, and you just think like, oh, here, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, like my best friend, old coach, he's sitting up in just outside of Detroit at this point. He told his family he wasn't going to go to spaghetti dinner with the rest of the group. He's going to sit at home, watch the game by himself, enjoy it. The rest of them are Packers fans, I think. And, I mean, at this point, he probably turned off the TV and went for a swim. He thought the game was over. You just love how they did this on this 3rd-and-11 play. The Detroit Lions, you say this when you watch the Detroit Lions over the last course, like the course of the last maybe month. Against a number of teams, they lost. If they were losing snaps, it was because they weren't tackling. I think I showed this versus the Dallas Cowboys a month ago. Schematically, they're sound. They play extremely hard. They make tackling mistakes or falling down during route mistakes. But look at this force check. So they bring the two linebackers. They're running a base defense, or excuse me, I think they have a 3-3 in here right now. Ancelotti's on the top there, but they've got linebackers are going to drop And all they're really trying to do is stay in front of the sticks here. And they do such a good job of keeping all three guys in front of them, forcing the check down early. Again, Brock Purdy's just trying to get into a rhythm. It's 3rd and 11. But Jack Campbell comes down here and just absolutely hammers McCaffrey. And they just do such a good job early on of dictating tempo, being the more physical football team. Really fantastic. 3rd and 9 play. And again, I just love the convoy. And you see with Penei Sewell, you know, when they talk about how excited they were coming out of college, he was a little bit raw. Under Hank Fraley, he's really, you know, developed into, you know, maybe the premier right tackle in the game. Really, really special guy. Big man rolling. And you just see what they just erase these fellas. Laporta here doing a great job on this Chase Young effort, not a fantastic effort player. But look what Sewell does a number of times this game versus first-team All-Pro Fred Warner. Fred's a great player, but obviously a mismatch. I just think the Lions' offensive line was overwhelming. You see the double teams here. Montgomery doesn't score on this play, but you see the surge, particularly between the center and the left guard. Incredible. Now, Purdy is the system quarterback, right? You can't – we talk about – when you talk about who is how a lot of these guys are defined, a lot of the stuff is just comes to, like, can you make off-schedule plays? They obviously made a bunch of them in Green Bay last week, and a couple of things he did this week, just biding time with his feet, find people to throw to. Juszczyk, Harvard guy, I love this. Harvard, let's go. Drink it up. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. We got 2x2. They go motion over to Trips. And you see here, as they motion, they decide to bring Ancelotti off the side. So they, I don't know if this is a stun or a dog adjustment, or they have this called in the huddle. So we're going to drop back on the corner. And what that does is that leaves McCaffrey into open space in the flat. I know a tackling guy. It happens to be me. Do you guys need help tackling? Because I just don't understand. Bad. Campbell, bad. Bad. Cam Sutton, bad. I mean, just like, come on, guys. You love the way they get to the football, but also you're going, guys, you're up 14-0. All you got to do is tackle the ball carrier in the field of possession, and you're going to win this football game. Backside here. So Ancelotti and McCaffrey, I don't know what kind of beef they have, but you can see them going back and forth all game. Got to fire your gun here. Campbell's reading this play side on the double team, but Ancelotti's just got to fire right there because Campbell's going to get ate up. Doesn't really even want to be part of it. You make that contact of the obviously on the end zone there. Dre Greenlaw last week did a good job of standing up the running back in the hole. Other side of the football, not so interested. We talk about this pressure equals picks. Now, Aiden Hutchinson is on one for the last couple of weeks, playing really, really high level. We talked about last week at the Green Bay Packers game. Right tackle, right guard for the San Francisco 49ers are susceptible to getting bold. You can collapse the pocket on them. What I loved about this all game is Aiden Hutchinson does such a good job of getting to level and then collapsing that pocket. And it ends up helping out the defensive tackle here. They're in a kind of a shifted over set here where everybody's forced on the left side of the center. You got three guys on the left side of the center. They come back over to the right guard and start bullying. But you see Hutchinson is going to bull in now and create that pressure. And so the defensive tackle, gets his hands on the ball. Malcolm Rodriguez gets the pick. But it's all because Hutchinson doesn't go high. He gets to level and bull rushes in. Something we talked about at length last week when we were doing our matchup show. We got under center. And they got the crack toss, but they do it backwards with the flick. So they open up to hold the linebackers. Goff flicks out to his left to Gibbs. And there's a couple things here. One, Gibbs is going to make this guy miss. You got to break down a little bit better. He's such a special player. Him and Bijan Robinson, I don't know who's 1 and 1A, but Bijan Robinson's amazing too as far as guys that just came into the league that really make defensive safety secondary guys sweat because you close your eyes and they're gone. Here's what I just don't understand. Chase Young, I think it's like first, second pick in the draft at Ohio State. And, you know, when you watch him, He's just not the he's such a freak athlete. Like he looks like physically, you just go, what an imposing figure. But the pass rush hasn't developed. Like when you watch his technique, to how high he is, it looks like he doesn't put, I don't know the guy at all. But you see this, you see the effort on some of the pursuit stuff, and you just go, man, really? Like, this is what you're bringing to the table? This is the big trade? I mean, that's crazy. From a commander standpoint, you start looking at it and go, got to feel pretty good about that trade. You've got some good draft picks coming up. Penei Sewell again, pulling around, and you see the vision. He's got Greenlaw, both safeties coming down, corners already being blocked. And Greenlaw just decides, like, okay, I think I'll run around and get a better pursuit angle here. I'll let 27 take the brunt of this. You know, this reminds me of something that I always talk about because the draft's coming up. Don't sleep on speed. For all the strength coaches, the old offensive line coaches that say, hey, the 40 doesn't matter to the offensive lineman, you name me an offensive lineman who runs a sub-540 that's not good, or a 320-pound guy who runs like a 5.0, 5.1, who's not a good player in the National Football League. Like, speed matters. It is a great proxy for overall athleticism, fast twitch. These guys are athletes. They train like athletes. This guy's an absolute unit. Look at him moving out there. And what it allows a guy like that to do, and what's so exciting, I think, what people, why, like, Penei Sewell isn't getting, he's not getting first team all pro because he's a good pass pro guy. He is, but that's not why he's getting first. He's getting first or second team all pro. Like, him and Lane are probably going to bounce that back and forth for a while now, because he is so physically dominant, so powerful, so explosive, so violent in the run game that it jumps off the screen. And you don't need to get like some stat guy or some blah, blah. I'm just, when you watch it, it pops off the screen, but it's the power development. And that is manifested in a large way in his ability to produce force and get a fast 40 time. So guys out there, when you're watching the 40s and linemen, they think that it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. If you're good at it, draft him. Zach Tom, draft him. Look at the window here. I love when they throw into this box of like four guys. Obviously, they're not all covering, but zone defense. Jared Goff, when he sets his feet, he just picks guys apart. We're going to show how this play plans out. I'm Ross A. Brown, such a good player. So they run the switch release here. And what they're really going to do is they're going to run the clearance and make sure that Brown leaves with the clear. And that just kind of really frees up Amara St. Brown to have to cross Fred Warner's face. And Fred's not going to be able to keep. I mean, they're in zone and they match late on the high safety. So Fred's not going to follow him across here as if they're manned up. And if they are, it's a mismatch. So Ben Johnson does another great job of getting a play call. We got fourth and goal here. This is one of the decisions that nobody talks about, but it is something they could think about. Look, it's fourth and goal. They're up 21-7. They take the points. Could they go up 28? They're only on the, I think, yard and a half line here, right? So this is the right decision, but it also isn't necessarily on brand with what the Lions do. Like, they could have gone up 28. If they go up 28-7 here, is the door closed? Probably. So we get second half here. And this is the stuff, like, nobody talks about this play. You need Hunt and Hammer tackling system. Like, happy to sell it to you guys. This is what lost you the game. You got Deebo Samuel, who just runs a hitch. There's no one even blocking for him. All you got to do is make a tackle. And he ends up getting a first down, or darn near it. And it's those plays over and over and over that cost people games. It's just that hidden yardage that nobody wants to discuss. I just put this play in here. I mean, what a ridiculous, like, it breaks every rule that you're supposed to follow, but what a great throw and catch, man. That was real special. Critical sequence here. So you got third and four, and everyone's talking about, oh, the Lions only ran it eight times in the second half. Well, you know, play clock, the time of possession changed. Right, they had a couple big plays in the run game. They also had some ones they got stoned on first down. So things change during the course of a game. It's not as easy as everybody thinks. By the way, these teams adjust at halftime. You know, the San Francisco 49ers are going to adjust their play at halftime. Like, they're going to be a little bit better. Here's something that happens, though. It's third and four, so you think they're running for first down. They've had so much success. Fred Warner absolutely hammers running back here. I mean, he just, like, ends his day. Okay, they did this a couple times at Green Bay yesterday. Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are the real deal. So now it's fourth and two. They make their first decision to go for it. Completely on brand. Absolutely the right call. And Bosa does a Bosa thing. And just, you know, usually with Bosa, he lines up. Let me go back here. So Bosa's in his left-handed stance, left foot back, okay? So he's on the left tackle. So it's, he's going to do a first steps left foot, right? And so he's got right now, if his second step isn't inside, he's going high. So if on his second step, if he doesn't go inside, he's going high now. The tackle has to know that, because what that means is he's not going to attack you now to his fourth step. One, two, three, four. On that fourth step, you can keep kicking and push out. He does a great job of doing the double swipe rip underneath, right? But really, Decker's sitting on something that's not going to happen. This is why you watch film. Because on his fourth step, when his left foot, left hand's down, if he's not on his second, he's going to be on his fourth. As far as attacking, he's going upfield, he's going to try to run the corner. Gets him to step up. Doesn't really matter. Still has a play to be made. We just have a drop pass. Now, this is the difference in having Deebo Samuel. Obviously, there's some things he does with the ball. Here's the difference between having Deebo Samuel and not having Deebo Samuel. The Detroit Lions are focused on Deebo right here. So the safety that you see at the yellow line on the 45-yard line, they're playing like a cover three, but he's going to sit on Deebo. So as they air this ball out, he's been sitting on this and turn this into a man-to-man, a one-on-one throw. So what usually is the rule for these quarterbacks when they've got their number one receiver, Brandon Ayuk, versus anybody, hey, if he's even, I'm throwing it, right? If it's close, I'm going to throw. I'm going to give him a chance to make the play. If that safety is bit on the dig route, the deep dig by Deebo, well, let's let it rip and see what happens. And, you know, series of unfortunate events here for the Lions. Hits him in the face mask. Get down to the one-yard line. And then they just run to show you the routes here. So they're going to run a little shake route here on the bottom here with Ayuk. They clear out, going across the field. They run McCaffrey out to the flat to bring Jack, I think that's Campbell, the middle linebacker, out to chase him. And really, they're just going to focus on the safety. Purdy's got to beat the safety here. And he's got eyes on two guys. So he's going to see the receiver cross his face. And then Ayuk kind of disappears here a little bit with a shake and comes up high side. On the outside leverage corner, shake, and then back up. And then Holly has to beat him right here. So if the safety's in the middle of the field because he's been looking at that man crossing his face, plays over. Purdy's got plenty of arm there to get rid of the football. Again, these designs are not, I don't think they're new to the NFL. It's just, it's always interesting to figure out, you know, the game between what you think they're going to be playing and the call and the adjustments that you have, and then what they actually show up in when it works. Beautiful. So this play is doomed from the start, and I'll show this from two different angles. The most important one is this, though. Basics. You're taking the handoff with the wrong arm up. I mean, right now, you're screwed. I mean, this is high school 101. I don't know what happened here. If Goff opens the wrong way, Jamar Gibbs is probably the one you're guessing the rookie is the one making the mistake. Watch Fred Warner here with Penei Sewell, by the way. That's rough. But Gibson comes in and makes a fantastic play on the football. Again, doomed from the start, just the way he took the handoff. We'll show this from the other angle. And this happened a couple times in this game. You have some receivers with the Detroit Lions who take a lot of pride in blocking, whether it's obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown. Here, this is Josh Reynolds, Jameson Williams. Reynolds misses this. He doesn't do a good job of getting down through this block because he has to fight through the safety. And instead of just, you know, this is what we call a car crash, right? You just want it. You rip through the outside guy and you just make a hard left turn and you just put your head down and you go helmet play side and hit the guy as hard as you can. And it's just a car accident. It's okay. It's not going to be a pretty block, but you're not breaking down. You're just having a – let's have a car accident right here and just see what happens, all right? He tries to break down and make the play. 31 comes in, knocks the ball loose. Obviously, they score on this drive here with McCaffrey coming through. And all of a sudden, you got yourself a football game. And this is what happens when you got a team versus really, really talented guys. Now, to the group that says, well, wait a second. The Detroit Lions, you know, didn't run the football enough. So now we showed the 3rd and 4. Okay, they get absolutely stonewalled by Wagner. Now it's 1st and 10. Let's reset. It's 24-24, third quarter, ton of time left in the game. We've been dominating the ball. Let's run reset. Well, left guard gets blown off the line of scrimmage. Chase Young kind of swims over the backside tight end's block. Ends up making the play for no gain. So you got 2nd and 10. 2nd and 10 comes in. And this is, again, this is another critical sequence. So safety comes down, and they're just kind of robbing this play and hits Laporta right as he catches this football, knocks it out. Gibson had a couple plays like this, you know, in the second half where you just, I mean, the big hit, obviously, for the tackle. This is the very, very next series. These are huge plays in the game. So now you got 3rd and 10. And let me go back and show you guys the routes combinations here. Again, we're using clip draw here for the first time, so I'm doing my best. But what we're really trying to focus on is the two guys in the blue cone. We're isolating, so we run the go up top. We're going to run the crosser, and then we're going to run the shallow cross underneath it, but it takes a little bit longer, right? So it's like it's two levels, and it's also two different times that these guys are dragging across the middle of the field. But we have the free release. I think this is Reynolds in the blue. And it's just a situation where 3rd and 10, Goff makes the throw, got to make the catch. So we've seen a couple drops already even on this drive. I need to reread his draft profile. We saw the Lamar Jackson kind of Houdini moves that were in the first game where he's trying to win the game for his team on some free rushers coming through trying to go high. This is the difference between not being able to go low on these quarterbacks, right? You go low on this quarterback, game's over, but you go high. And you know, let's not get it mixed up here. McCaffrey gets flat out beat on this play. And this stuff happens. But, you know, you whiff on him. Your quarterback's got to make you look good here. And then just throws a great pass. I think this is Kittle on the sideline. I mean, on so many levels, that's a special play. Not a lot of guys in the NFL are making that play just from a balance and elusive, like the ability to be elusive standpoint. I just, again, it's so perplexing sometimes when you see, and listen, like Tom Brady was drafted late. There's some guys that just you miss on, right? And sometimes it just happens enough where you go, man, maybe we need to rethink how we're drafting these guys. So we got under center. They're going to run like the old kick play, but they're doing it out of a bunch formation, which I think is genius, right? So usually when you see this, they have two tight ends on the side. But when I say kick, they're going to kind of wash everybody down. And they want to put McCaffrey on the outside corner. They're going, McCaffrey's going to at least get 5 yards. He's going to run through that arm tackle. Maybe there's a big play available here. When that guy has to come down to inside or outside in leverage, it kind of opens that corridor for McCaffrey to run. They do it out of a bunch look. And so it's almost like the tight end starts. They've got Juszczyk come in and clean up on the linebacker. And then the receiver is just kind of playing piggyback. And you can make sure there's no leakage. So they have, you see the surge on the top of the screen here as far as the line. And he just puts his foot in the ground. Really, he's got this one guy to beat, run through. Corner doesn't really even give him any looks. So the safety's got to come down and make the play. Talking about Kirby Joseph. Corner doesn't want any part of that action. And that's why they run the kick play. But great formation to run it out of. You don't see that too often. So you see here, Purdy's initial flattest. Ancelotti's got him. And so now, because he feels the looper coming up, he sees the hole. And again, there's a difference between, you know, having pocket presence, being good at a 40, and then like being able to weave through this traffic at the kind of at the level he's playing right now. I mean, that's not just the most simplistic route to a first down. So they end up getting a field goal there. Critical sequence alert here, guys. So they get the run on the first down. They run the toss crack. They get the lineman out convoy. And that's really been kind of the maybe the best play they had as far as what they're going to do schematically. We saw it last week with the 49ers defensive ends. It was actually much easier to crack block them with wide receivers than everybody thought it might be given their kind of their status in the National Football League because of their long stances they want to get upfield. Detroit Lions took a page from that book and definitely were very successful with the crack blocks used in wide receivers. So they get down, huge play here. So first down, and then we go into the fourth quarter. They're down three again, and we run the flea flicker. Okay, and a lot of people are going, and I'm kind of one of them. I would rather you just get another first down run here. You understand it, though. Ben's been so successful, and he's called these, you know, such great plays. And to be fair, this play hit. He just dropped the ball. But not the conservative me, but the lineman in me goes, you know, we're the best, like the best unit on this football team is this offensive line. And David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, like that combination, that's the best thing we got going. Especially against the Niners defense. Like that's the Niners defense is susceptible, especially in nickel, to being run on. So that's what you want to attack. And so we go flea flicker here. And you know, to be fair, this play is, I mean, you're this close from this thing hitting, and it's 31-27. But now they go and they have to make another decision. Fourth and three. And they run a TE stunt. One, and then you see Eric Armstead's gonna come around. So they do a great job of picking the center here. So Frank Redd. You got to remember, Jonah Jackson's out of the game, left guard, okay? So what does that mean? That means that Frank Ragnow, the center, is usually expecting a really strong kind of punch down on this game. He turns a little bit too much, but we don't really get a good punch down. You see that the left guard here is already kind of body shifted to his right, so he doesn't have power to stop that rush from 98. Armstead comes around, and now you got Goff on the move. If Goff's moving east and west, he's no good to you. This isn't what he excels at all. He really has no play to be made there, to be fair. But you get him off the spot. I mean, that's always – if his feet are set, he's one of the best guys at delivering the football. If his feet aren't set, you got a problem. And so what we have now is we got matchup city. So we got man coverage across the board. You got two guys in the backfield. We went motion. And that really means that Jack Campbell's covered up on Brock Purdy, who he's not spying here, but he's kind of spying. But we know that Purdy's a limited athlete. Now, this is interesting only because this is one of the few, this is, you know, later in the game, they have to make some adjustments on defense because Purdy has been scrambling. So they, okay, we're going to rush four. Let's make sure that quarterback doesn't scramble for the first down. Hutchinson, again, watch 97. He's bull rushing the right tackle. He's creating the pressure, and he's collapsing the pocket. And somehow he doesn't make the play here. Purdy makes the play, gets past him, and now runs around. I think that was Ancelotti, not Campbell. That's me. Ancelotti on the way to. This is his game for the day. What did I say his long game was? 21 yards, and it sets up this next big run by McCaffrey. You look down at the bottom, and you have this two tight end look. And now instead of running the kick where we're collapsing everything down, we're going to run this double. And this is something that, you know, if you're a Packers fan, you've been kind of looking at how that team got a little bit better. I think these tight ends, now Kittle can block anybody, but now you've got a tight end and a wing hipped off, and they're allowed to combo, slip, whatever you guys want to call this, scoop this. But you get four hands on the down defensive end. you take care of him, and you're going up to a corner outside leverage play guy who's going to play soft anyways. So it gives the tight ends a lot of time to secure that first man on the line of scrimmage. It also gives the opportunity for the tackle and the guard on that side to take care of that three technique up to that linebacker. You see the linebacker fires his gun. And this is really just all about angles of pursuit. Safety's got to make a choice here. Right now, he thinks the corner's going to have outside leverage, which he does. But he takes the wrong angle of pursuit. When you fire your gun sometimes and you try to run underneath a McCaffrey type, right? If McCaffrey doesn't have to cut back now, you're out of luck. So McCaffrey has one of his another missed tackle, one of the better runs of the day. Ends up, I think, hurting himself right there. But it leads to a 34-24 game, which, quite frankly, I was happy with because I had made some bets when it was a 9.5-point spread. And they go down, make the decision to run on third, call the timeout, get the fourth down touchdown, blow the spread up, onside kick, Kittle recovers, game over. Long story short, Niners win the game. I lose my bets. All is not lost, though, because there's so much action over the next couple of weeks. The prop bets. I don't even know what the spread has started for this game. Let me check it out real quick. I have to imagine the Niners are favored here. The Niners are favored by 1.5. Kansas City's at home. Over-under is 47.5. Sounds about right. You think the Niners are going to be able to – we'll do a preview show on this game next week before the Super Bowl. Give me some feedback on this, whether you guys like the clip drop, new way to look at it. Find me at MikeWall68 on X, Twitter, Prosper Perform on Instagram. Going to work on some other stuff here, but this is Block Party. This is the format. We're going to do a lot more game analysis breakdown. We're going to do a lot more individual player breakdown. So if you guys have ideas, people you want to see, whether it's upcoming draft guys, whether it's guys that are on your team, possible free agents, let me know. I'll see if I can put some stuff together for you. Until the next time, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you soon.
With my busy life, I use Shipt same-day delivery to keep up. When I need a jar of extra creamy peanut butter delivered, I know my personal shopper Amber will come through. And if it's not on the shelf, she asks them to check the back. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.